Hi, everyone. You are on with John. So the first thing I want to get to in today's episode is I want to just quickly update something that I talked about in the first episode, which is everything that was going on with Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz and the crazy things they said about the coronavirus and about opening up the country and going back to school. So basically, in the first episode, I said that both of them need to apologize for the things they said, and that people need to leave Oprah alone about it, and that it's on them, which I still say. But since my first episode, Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz have both released statements clarifying or trying to clarify what they were saying. So I just thought I would share their statements just to be fair to them. I don't really consider either of their statements apologies necessarily, but I do appreciate them recognizing their mistakes, and they're probably just really trying to save their reputations, which is fine. But either way, here's what Dr. Phil said, and this is a quote. He said, "I don't mean we need to just run back out there and start pretending that nothing ever happened. I don't mean that at all. I've said 100% I support that we shut the country down to protect what is perhaps a small percentage of those for whom this virus is most dangerous. So yes, we should shut the country down if that's what it takes." So that's what Dr. Phil said. Fine. And here's what Dr. Oz said. And this is also a quote. He said, "I've realized my comments on risks around opening schools have confused and upset people, which was never my intention. I misspoke." End quote. So, like I said, neither of these statements are really apologies for the crazy things they said, but they did clarify, and they both realized that they did mess up. So, good on them. I still wouldn't listen to any medical advice from either of them, but I think they did what they had to do. So the first thing that I wanted to actually get into on this episode of my podcast is Joe Biden's VP pick. And I'm going to be actually doing a lot of talking about Joe Biden today. So if he's not a topic of interest to you, I'm sorry, but that's where we're going today. So first, I want to get to who I think he should pick as his VP and who I think he might pick as his VP. And I think the short list of people he might pick are Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and Stacey Abrams. I think those four all have very good chances of being picked as his VP. And I do think that this could be one of the most important VP picks in recent history, just because I don't see Joe Biden serving two terms if he is elected, and I think that will be his choice. So whoever he picks as his VP needs to actually be, one, ready to lead. I mean, all VPs need to be this, but especially Joe Biden's. She needs to be ready to lead. I do think he needs to pick a woman, and he has said that he will pick a woman, so that's why I'm limiting this to women right now. And she needs to be someone exciting enough that people will want to vote for her in 2024 if Joe Biden decides he does not want to run again, which I don't think he will. So of those women that I mentioned, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and Stacey Abrams, I think the smartest choice for Joe Biden would be Kamala Harris. She just checks off a lot of boxes for me. And I think out of all of these women, she would be the one that people would be most excited about voting for in 2024. And I'm not exactly sure how old Stacey Abrams is, but I think Kamala might be younger than her. I'm not sure on that. But the point is, Kamala is still young. So come 2024, she absolutely can run. And I think she's exciting enough that she could win. depending on who she's running against. Elizabeth Warren, I love her, but she is pretty up there in age. And I'm sorry, but in 2024, I don't want another race full of older white people running. That's not what I want to see for the future. That's not my vision. That's not a lot of people my age. That's not what they want to see. So I love Elizabeth Warren, but I feel like this was her one shot, and it didn't happen for her, which is unfortunate. A lot of people really are on board with Stacey Abrams being Joe Biden's VP. I am not for that, simply because she couldn't even win in her home state of Georgia. And I know there are a lot of people out there saying that things were rigged and, you know, gerrymandering played a part in that. And I'm sure some of that has some truth to it, but this is not the time to be taking bets. You know, if Stacey Abrams can't win in her home state, then I don't trust her to help Joe Biden win the presidency. That's just how I feel about it. And also, she's really turned me off now that she's out there promoting herself and campaigning to be Joe Biden's VP. You know, usually wanting to be someone's VP is something you kind of just know that you want, and you keep it to yourself. And then if the person picks you to run with them, then they pick you, and that's great. But Stacey Abrams is actively campaigning to be Joe Biden's vice president. And I don't know. I'm not really about that. I don't like that. And it has nothing to do with her being a woman who knows what she wants and she's not afraid to say it. I do respect that part of it. You know, I am all for a woman VP. But there's just something about Stacey Abrams that rubs me the wrong way. So my vote goes to Kamala Harris. She would be the most exciting pick for me. And I really think she would do a lot to benefit Joe Biden's campaign. And while we're on this subject, there are a lot of people I've noticed who are getting mad when people say that Joe Biden should pick a woman of color as his VP. And I don't understand that, because what they're saying, their argument, is that the person who becomes Joe Biden's VP should be the most qualified. And I absolutely agree with that. They should be the most qualified. But I'm starting at a place of understanding that there are people of all races and all genders who are qualified. You know, that's where I'm starting with my train of thought. So of all of those people who I consider qualified, from that pool of people, I would prefer for Joe Biden to pick a woman of color. I think that would do a lot to help his campaign, and it would excite me as a young person who is into politics. So I am not putting gender and race above being qualified. You know, that is the basic bar from my point of view, is just having the simple qualifications. So it's not like I'm setting the bar lower by saying I want a woman of color, and I'm definitely not disregarding qualifications at all, because as we have seen for the last 4 years, being qualified is definitely where we need to start. All I'm saying is that there are people of every race and gender who are qualified, and of those people that I consider qualified already, I would like a woman of color to be Joe Biden's VP. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. We're at a time where there are enough women of color out there who can do the job that it's about time they get it. So those are my thoughts on Joe Biden's VP pick. Man, that is a tongue twister. Definitely Kamala. Now, sticking with the subject of Joe Biden, I think we need to talk about Tara Reid. You know, because of the coronavirus and all of the craziness happening, the media hasn't really been talking about this, but I think it matters, and I do think it is something that needs to be brought up. So the background on this is Tara Reid was a staff assistant to Joe Biden when he was a senator. Tara Reid abruptly left her job as a staff assistant in the spring of 1993 after allegedly being sexually assaulted by then-Senator Joe Biden. And just to be clear, I said allegedly because it hasn't been proven yet. So, there. Nobody come for me. According to Reid, she was sent by her manager at the time to the Russell Senate office building to bring Joe Biden his gym bag. And Reid claims that once she got there, Biden pressed her up against the wall. He forcibly kissed her. He put one hand up her shirt and the other hand up her skirt, penetrating her with his fingers. Now, Reid has claimed to multiple media outlets that she confided in her brother, a friend, and her mother at the time of the assault. And she has also said that she filed a complaint to her manager at the time about the sexual harassment that she had been facing in the office. So all of these claims have resurfaced in the past month or so, but they're starting to become a topic of discussion now because a video has surfaced of Tara Reid's mother calling into the Larry King Live show on August 11th, 1993, asking for advice on what to do for her daughter who just left her job as a staff assistant for a prominent senator due to inappropriate behavior she was experiencing. Now, no names were used in the conversation with Larry King, but Tara Reid has since confirmed that it was in fact her mother's voice on the tape and that her mother was the person calling into the Larry King show. So those are all of the claims and points from Tara Reid's perspective and from the people in her corner. You know, her mother, her brother, and her friend all have said that Tara Reid did tell them about the assault when it took place. And, excuse me, and they all do back up her story. And they all do say that what she is saying Joe Biden did to her is accurate. But now to give the other side, to give Joe Biden's side, his campaign has said that the incident, and I quote, absolutely did not happen, end quote. And Biden's longtime aide, Dennis Toner, his then chief of staff, Ted Kaufman, and his executive assistant, Marianne Baker, all have said that they don't recall getting any complaints from Tara Reid and that the office environment at the time was one of professionalism. And the reason I'm so conflicted by all of this is because I don't want to be a hypocrite. It's no secret for anyone who knows me that I am not a fan of Donald Trump. I did not vote for him, and I will not vote for him in 2020. But I don't want to be a hypocrite because Trump has many allegations of sexual assault against him. And I tend to believe those. So it would be kind of hypocritical of me to then sit here and say, well, I don't believe Tara Reid, who's accusing Joe Biden, just because Joe Biden is more closely aligned with my political beliefs and I really want Donald Trump to not be the president of the United States anymore. It just wouldn't be right for me to do that. And I think the disconnect I'm feeling is due to the fact that this allegation against Joe Biden is so out of character for him, but it doesn't mean it's not true. And we can't go from asking people to believe women to only believing women if their allegations are against men we already dislike or disagree with. And this really just reminds me a lot of the whole Bill Cosby situation because there were so many prominent figures in Hollywood and in the media who just refused to believe the women who made allegations against Bill Cosby simply because he was this, you know, father figure to people in America for so long. He gave people this sense of being a comforting father figure just because of his character in his TV show. So many people did not want to believe that Bill Cosby could have done such terrible things. But as it turns out, he did do them. And then he had to pay the price for it. So, I don't know what I'm going to do in terms of voting in the fall, because I definitely am not voting for Donald Trump, but I would kind of have a hard time voting for someone who very likely could have sexually assaulted someone. And it's something that I'm going to have to think about for a long time. And I probably won't make my decision anytime soon, because it just wouldn't sit well with me if I voted for someone just to get the other person out. And I know there are other people who feel this way, and I know it might not be the popular opinion right now, because a lot of people who dislike Donald Trump, their main goal is just to get him out of office. But for me, on a personal level, there's more to it than that. And it's something I'm going to have to think about. So before we get into our last topic, which is definitely a little bit of a lighter one, and it's definitely for my View fans out there, here is a quick word from me about one of my sponsors. Welcome back. I got my cup of coffee and I'm ready to get into some behind the scenes View drama for all my View fans. So I was watching Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen on Wednesday night. And Meghan McCain, who is one of the co-hosts of The View, she was on as a guest and she threw some shade at Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who used to be a host on The View. So here is the backstory for those of you who don't know. Elizabeth Hasselbeck was the conservative Republican co-host on The View for a decade, from 2003 until she got fired in 2013. Meghan is the conservative co-host on The View now, and she has always praised Elizabeth, and she has said that she wants to emulate her as the new conservative on The View. So on March 11th of this year, Elizabeth came back to guest co-host for the first time since she left the show, and all of the ladies of The View, which consists of Meghan McCain, Sonny Hostin, Joy Behar, Whoopi Goldberg, and on this day, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, they were talking about Trump's response to the coronavirus, and Elizabeth made a comment that somewhat suggested that people use Purell and pray the virus away. Those were not her exact words, but it is what she implied. So then cut to this past Wednesday night on Watch What Happens Live. Andy Cohen asked Meghan about her thoughts on what Elizabeth said, and Meghan said that it was unfortunate and that she has no desire to co-host with Elizabeth ever again. Now, that's crazy to me, just because of how much Meghan literally praised Elizabeth all of the time. You know, she literally wanted to be the next Elizabeth on the show, but because of Elizabeth's comments on the coronavirus, Meghan just turned on her, which I thought was crazy. Now, I love the drama of it all, because another aspect to this story is that Meghan McCain is pregnant and she is due in September, which is when the new season of The View starts. So no matter what, the show is going to need to find another co-host for the start of next season, and whoever she is most likely going to need to be a conservative Republican
to fill the void that Meghan will leave while she's on maternity leave. Now, I really think that the show is trying to bring Elizabeth back, which I think would be a fantastic idea. And it came out, I don't remember where it was leaked, but it came out that the show did try to get Elizabeth back like 2 seasons ago when Sarah Haynes left. They called her and tried to get her back, which would have made the panel consist of Whoopi, Joy, Sunny, Meghan, and Elizabeth, which was the exact panel on this day that Elizabeth made these comments on the coronavirus. So do I think maybe they were testing it out to see how Elizabeth did with this group? I think so. And like I said, I absolutely would be all for her coming back because the show was so good when she was on. The ratings for The View are the highest they've been in 8 years right now, which is fair. The show is very good right now. But the last time the show was this good was when Elizabeth was on. So I think it would be interesting to have 2 Republicans on the panel whenever Meghan does come back, especially because Elizabeth Hasselbeck is a Trump supporter and Meghan McCain is not. So I think bringing Elizabeth back would be a very smart choice and it would make for great TV. And just to be clear, I do know, yes, that the show technically already has had 2 Republicans on at the same time with Meghan McCain and Abby Huntsman, but Abby is very moderate and she even said that on the show, so I don't know if that really counts. But to have Meghan and Elizabeth on the panel at the same time, that would be interesting to me, because we already have 3 co-hosts, Whoopi, Joy, and Sunny, who all definitely lean to the left politically, but it's nice to see that even people who are all part of the same party disagree on things, because it's not, you know, all Democrats don't agree on everything and all Republicans don't agree on everything. So I think it is important to have a variety of Democrats on The View and a variety of Republicans on The View. Now, there's only 5 co-hosts of that show, so you can only have 3 of one and 2 of the other, or 2 and 2 and someone in the middle. So I think bringing Elizabeth back would be a smart choice. Now, so those are my thoughts on the... Well, actually, last night, I almost forgot this. Last night, Elizabeth Hasselbeck responded to Meghan's comments on Instagram. So just to remind you, Meghan's comments were that she has no desire to co-host with Elizabeth Hasselbeck again. And so last night on Instagram, Elizabeth said that she was surprised by Meghan's disrespect, considering that she, meaning Elizabeth, was always a supporter of Meghan's family, which is very true. If you watched The View when Elizabeth was on, especially during the 2008 election cycle when it was Obama and John McCain, Elizabeth was a hardcore John McCain supporter. She loved him, loved his family. So that's true. And Elizabeth also said that she doesn't like being misrepresented and that her comments were made pre-social distancing rules, which is kind of true, like a little bit true. Elizabeth was on the show for her guest appearance on March 11th, which was very early on in the whole social distancing, quarantining thing. And it was the very first day that The View went live without an audience present. So, I mean, technically, sorry, Elizabeth, social distancing rules were in place. But to be fair, yes, it was early on. There was a lot of confusion. And, you know, we weren't sure of the extent to which we should socially distance and quarantine and stuff like that. So I guess it's a fair point, but not completely accurate. And to end her response to Meghan, Elizabeth said, it was a little shady, Elizabeth said that she would pray for her and that she hopes they could be in this together and on the same side again soon. So we'll see what happens with them. Like I said, I think the show needs to bring Elizabeth back, even though I do not agree with 99.9% of the things that come out of Donald Trump's mouth. I do think The View needs to have a Trump supporter on it. You know, it's called The View for a reason. And when Barbara Walters made the show, it was to have different women from different backgrounds of all ages sit around and talk about their opinions on the hottest topics. A big hot topic in the world right now is Donald Trump as president. And if there's nobody on that panel supporting the president, then it's hard to have in-depth conversations about why people agree with things he does and says, or why people disagree with things he does and says. And I think that was pretty clear during the one day that Elizabeth came back to guest co-host, because she shook up that table like it hasn't been shaken up in a while. You know, everyone, even though Meghan is there and she is a Republican, she has made it clear from day one that she does not support Donald Trump for very good reason. And so it's hard when they're having debates about him and all of the ladies at the table agree. You know, that's not what The View is. So, or it's not what it's supposed to be, at least. Everyone's supposed to have their own different point of view. So I do think it would be a good idea to bring Elizabeth back. I know a lot of people hated her, and I know a lot of people wanted her gone when she was on, but it's no lie that when she and Joy left in season 16, I think it was, the ratings dropped real hard, and the show took a long time to get back to what it is today with Sonny Hostin and Meghan McCain, who are, I think, two of the best co-hosts the show has had since seasons 11 through 16 with Whoopi, Joy, Sherry, Elizabeth, and Barbara, which I consider the golden years of The View. Those were definitely the best years of The View so far, in my opinion. So, with that being said, this once again concludes my episode of On With John. And I thank you for listening.